on your mouth, in your mouth, on your tongue. Always. A new song. All right, let's take our Bibles and go to 1 Corinthians chapter 10. It's been a while since we have been here, but we're going to find our way back here tonight. I have decided there's a number of things that we're going to do. Of course, in Discovery Bible Studies, we started 1 Thessalonians. We are going to beginning doing some different things in our study on Sunday mornings here very soon. I'll let you know a little bit more about that coming up, but looking at what God is going to give us on Sunday mornings, I got some good ideas and some thoughts. Need to pray through it a little bit more. You pray with me, and God would bless. Wednesday nights, I have some thoughts as well of some new places we're going to go in accordance with our theme. But we're going to continue to plug away here in 1 Corinthians. It's very important, and we're just going to keep going. And I'm not planning on doing it any faster. We're just going to keep going and discovering what we need to. And so 1 Corinthians chapter 10 is where we're at. And I was going to move on, and as I was looking at reviewing the last time that we did this, I feel very important that we need to look and examine something here before we go on to the last little section of verse or of chapter 10, okay? So what I'd like you to do is look down and see here where we're at. Let's go to, well, let's start in verse 19. He was, Paul was talking about idols and things that we put in our lives that we can look as idols. And we examine some of those things that we tend to put in our lives as idols. And we get involved in idolatry. Remember, idolatry is anything that we put before God and the Lord. And so it's very easy, by the way. Idolatry is not necessarily something that pagan cultures do, you know, with something that's made of hands, something that we carved out or forged of metal. We think of that. That always comes to our mind when we think of idolatry, but idolatry is anything that we put and is anything in front of the Lord. In fact, we sang a song tonight. I can't remember it. It brought to my mind is God everything? And I can't even remember what song it was, but there was an idea, even in one of the verses that had the idea, but had the idea to do with, is there anything before the Lord? At least that's the question I asked. Is there anything before the Lord in my life? And so I ask you that question. Is there anything before God that's more important to you? Is God everything to you? And so we've been looking at idolatry. Paul is going to, he's going to continue to go back to the main thing, the theme of being free. And our freedom that we have in the Lord. But it's very interesting that he talks about, so he uses an interesting phrase there. If you looked at the title for tonight, then you know what that phrase is. And so we looked at, in the most recent verses, we talked about communion with, of course, Christ and the fellowship that we have when we partake. In fact, I think the last time we really spent some time on what communion is, and when we celebrate the Lord's table, we are identifying with and we're teaming up with. We need to be careful what we're communing with, okay? What we're fellowshipping with. When we identify ourselves with certain people, it's going to make a difference. It's going to make an impact not only on our lives but on others' lives and the testimony that we have. And so, who are we fellowshipping with? Who are we communing with? When we partake of the Lord's table, we're communing with Him. We're communing and we're remembering what He has done for us, and we are joining arms with Him, and we're saying we are in with this. And every time we meet at the Lord's table, we ought to take that very seriously, that we're communing with Him. But is there any possibility that we could make a mistake in our lives and we could commune with something other than God? And the answer is yes. And that's what Paul brings up we're going to start looking at that in verses 19, 20, and then most specifically verse 21. What say I then, that the idol is anything, or that which is offered in sacrifice to idols is anything? But I say that the things which the Gentiles sacrifice, they sacrifice to devils and not to God. And I would not that ye should have fellowship with devils. And obviously, there are people that sacrifice. You know, we think of sacrifice in the Christian realm, sacrificing ourselves for God. We know that the sacrifice we give is not death. God does not require a death sacrifice mostly. He requires a living sacrifice. Are you thankful that God requires a living sacrifice? Now, you can say yes, but the fact of the matter is then we ought to be willing to give a living sacrifice. Honestly, a living sacrifice is a high calling. Are we willing to say no to ourselves and do what God wants us to do? Okay? And so he wants a living sacrifice, but he said all the we think of that kind of sacrifice, but all sacrifice is not to God. Some sacrifice that people make is for the devil. What kind of sacrifices are people doing out there today that are for the devil? Now, that might be something that would jog your mind. You'd think, I don't know. But what are there out there that would be for the devil? Well, he goes into verse 21 and he says, you cannot drink the cup of the Lord and the cup of devils. Ye cannot be partakers of the Lord's table and of the table of devils. Verse 22, do we provoke the Lord to jealousy? Are we stronger than he? And then he goes into another element that we'll get to maybe next week, going back to, are things lawful? Are they prudent? Are they edifying? And why we do what we do is very important. But I just, before I went on, I just wanted to cover this small little area on, is it the Lord's or the devil's? And so the cup of devils, what is he talking about there? Well, we just reviewed what the cup of the Lord's table is, right? When we partake of the cup, we are identifying, we're saying, listen, we are in with the Lord. And that's something to think about when we partake of the Lord's table. We're in. We're declaring ourselves in. We're a part of the team. It's an identification tool. We're saying, I'm in. I'm in. I'm going to take that cracker. I'm going to take that juice. I am in with this. I am in with this endeavor. And I am clear to identify that. We did that at water baptism, didn't we? When you got baptized, what did you declare? I'm a part of God's team. It was receiving that jersey, so to speak. It was saying, listen, I want to identify with this. And we are choosing to say, I'm not standing afar off. I'm not just a secret disciple. No, I am declaring myself as a disciple of Christ. And so both the two ordinances that we celebrate here in our church, we celebrate that communion with the Lord. We are identifying ourselves with Jesus Christ. And I hope that you are willing to identify with Christ. I hope that you are willing to say, listen, I'm a Christian. Now, I can easily say that, but the day might come when we might have to sacrifice that way and say, you know what, I am willing to say, maybe in light of persecution, that I am. Do you feel that you would be willing to do that? I hope that you would. Are you willing to identify as a Christian, even if it means your life? We could be coming to those days. But we identify with the cup of Christ, the cup of the blood of Jesus Christ. But now Paul introduces the cup of devils, and he said, now listen, can we partake of the cup of devils? Now, in like manner, the cup of indicated communion, right? The cup of. The cup of Christ is as he was passing that around, was communion. I'm identifying with him. Well, they're just likewise, we've got the cup of devils, and it's identifying ourselves with the opposite side. Of course, that's with Satan. Now, we know that Satan is, what's Satan's main task? Anybody? What is Satan planning on doing? What is he trying to do in this world right now? Okay, he's wanting to steal God's glory. That's good. What else? Okay, he wants to do everything he can to pull us away. Okay. He wants to deceive us. He's the deceiver, isn't he? So he wants to trick us. He wants to lie to us. Any other thoughts? He wants to destroy us. Does the devil love us? No, he hates us. You know, I used to tell this to the kids when, you know, as we were raising the kids, I say, you know, when we comply to the devil's, you know, and we get hurt, You know, in the end, how you end up getting hurt. You know, the devil's laughing. He hates you. You know, he might tell you, oh, I've got a fun time for you. And as soon as you partake and as soon as the pain comes from it, he's laughing. He doesn't care about us. You know, certainly he's all about destruction. He wants to see us destroyed. He has no care for us. Any other thoughts? The devil's job. What's the devil trying to do?
In a greater way, he wants us to worship.
Yeah, he does. I mean, if he can take away, and I think if he can take away worship from God, then he gets worship. It's good. Somebody else's. What's that? Oh, he loves to accuse us. Oh, my friend, I want to tell you, we could spend a lot of time talking about that. He's the accuser of the brethren. He loves to make you feel guilty, and he loves to flip truth upside down and make you feel things that you shouldn't be feeling. He loves to accuse. Yeah. That's good. One more. Any other thoughts? Yeah, he does. He wants to destroy our testimony. Okay. So you can see here, and these were all right, all things that are true. So in all, the devil is anti-God, right? He's doing everything. He doesn't care about us. He doesn't love us. He's not even trying to get us on his side, so to speak. He wants to kill us. He's not just looking for friends. You know, we have this idea that, you know, the devil and his friends. No, the devil has no friends. He doesn't care about anyone except himself. Remember in Isaiah, I, he cares about no one. He cares about no one. So he's not trying to get you, and he's not trying to be chums with you and say, yeah, we're on the same team. He just wants to pull you aside and squash you. That's all he wants to do. And so he's anti-God. Now, we talked about fellowship with God and the blood of Jesus Christ. Now we have fellowship with the devil. And so it makes sense that the cup of devils or anything, it's associating, it's having to do with, it's identifying ourselves with anything that would be associated with the devil that wants to do all what you just said. Now you think about that for a moment, and I ask you, then what are the things that are there for the Christian that we're tempted with communing with the cup of devils? What are the things that tempt us? Because obviously Paul is writing for a purpose. There's never a time when Paul is just writing, blowing smoke, just to put it down there to establish some theology. Paul is giving these people because there were dangers, and Paul is meeting the needs. He's saying, folks, you need to be careful, because some of you are quickly, you're going to church, and on Sunday night, you're identifying with the blood of Jesus Christ. But some of you are leaving this building, and some of you are going out, and you, maybe not even knowing it, are communing with the things of the devil. And it's destroying you. And it's destroying the cause of Christ, just like Bonnie just mentioned, the testimony. It's destroying the cause. What are the things in our lives that we need to be aware of that we are not identifying? Now, I know that, you know, people have their local teams or their state teams or their whatever. You know, in Pennsylvania, you know, professional, and I'm not all about much about professional sports these days because it's a bunch of hoodlums. But anyway, we've got, you know, you've got your main Pennsylvania teams, right? You've got Pittsburgh and you've got Philadelphia and you've got some different ones that are there. And it makes sense that you would, you know, you might wear a jersey because you identify with that team. You know, but, you know, and you might be all about it, but some people go to Goodwill and they see a jersey there and they buy it, you know, because it's just a shirt that they want. And honestly, they don't care about Philadelphia and they don't care about Pittsburgh. They just buy a jersey and they wear it. And what they're doing, you know, they say no harm. I'm not trying to make anybody mad just because, you know, this is a team from, you know, another state. And somebody, you know, be like, what is that guy from Pennsylvania wearing that shirt from, you know, another state? And they might think that. And you had no, all you're doing is wearing a shirt, right? Because it has some numbers on it, you know, and I like these numbers and I like the colors, okay? You're doing that. You're not trying to cause any harm. But the fact of the matter is you are going out of the realm in which you are, and you're moving somewhere else. And God is saying here,
He's not talking about professional sports. God is saying you need to be very careful with what you do so that you are not identifying with the enemy. Folks, I want to tell you something. We need to be careful what we're doing. There are many people that don't mean any harm by putting on that jersey from some other team. But we need to be careful because when we do, we're communing with the cup of devils. And so what I want to do tonight with just the few minutes that we have is just get the ball rolling so that I can help you and God can help you to think through the things in your life to understand it is a big deal what I do. On the outside, we have a lot of people today that are saying, listen, it's about the heart, not what's on the outside. And I agree 100% it is about our hearts. But Paul here is saying you need to be careful about the outside as well, because you can easily identify with the opposite team. And my friend, it might not be very dangerous to identify with the Washington Redskins, but it's horrible to identify with the devil. And so, tonight I just want to just start to make you think. This list is not exhaustive. It's things that we as Christians could easily get tempted and pulled into and identifying with the cups of devils. The first thing that I want us to look at. Let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Verse 33. Many of you know the verse. Now, Paul says, you cannot drink the cup of the Lord and the cup of devils. And you got to pick one. How many of us have one foot in one side, one cup, and how many have another foot in another cup? Kind of a funny picture there, but it's something that we ought to think about because God's saying here, it's not possible. You choose who you will serve. Remember Joshua? He's getting ready to go into the promised land. What did he tell the people? Actually, I say it was the beginning. I think it was the very end before he died. He said, choose you this day who you'll serve. And he made his choice. What was his choice? As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Make a choice, he says. And by the way, what was the result of the people who did not make their choice? And Israel did what? What did Israel do? They decided to keep one foot with Jehovah and the other foot with pagan practices that were all around, and they intermarried and intermingled and all that. And where did it take them? It destroyed them. Isn't that what the devil wants to do? He wants to destroy. And what he does is, it's not an all-out, go from God. No, it's just, listen, as a Christian, it's not, you can do that, but it's also not a big deal to be involved in this. You see what the devil's trying to do? He's trying to deceive you into thinking, it's not exclusive. God said it is exclusive. But it's okay to do, it's not that big of a deal. It doesn't matter. 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 33, be not deceived. So there's deception here. In other words, whose mark, whose initials are on this when we read that word? Be not deceived. Whose initials? Satan himself. Satan is working right here. And what's he going to do? Be not deceived. Evil communications corrupt good manners. That communication is that identification, that something that you might have that maybe you don't claim, but that is a mark of. It's just his mark. Evil communications, those things that we rub shoulders with, those things that we frequent, that we look at, that we listen to. The first thing that I want to talk to you about this evening is entertainment. Paul doesn't talk about entertainment. He talks about things that are of the cup of devils. And he said, listen, you need to stay away from the cup of devils. My friend, I will just put it point blank to you. The entertainment world out there has got the devil's fingerprints all over it, not God's. I'm not telling you that every single possible thing out there is of the devil, but I'll tell you this, the devil is using the entertainment out there to trip up, not the world, he's already got them. He's using it to trip up God, people that are of God, that are claiming God, that don't keep a tight rope or a tight ship on their lives, and he's getting them to step into their territory. And so many people today are saying, listen, that's not me. It's not. There's nothing wrong to look at it. The devil knows better, and he's snatching people away every day, left and right, because they're claiming the blood of Jesus Christ. By the way, why did Jesus go to the cross and why did he shed his blood? Someone please tell me, why did Jesus go to the cross and shed his blood? For us. But let's get more specific. Billy, why? What did we need? His love and compassion, which would do what? He's getting closer. There he goes. To cleanse us from all sins. Jesus went to the cross to take away our what? Sin. Sin is anti-God. And anything that revolves around sin and makes its mark around sin, that laughs at sin, that makes fun of sin, is of the devil. And my friend, I'm going to be bold to tell you, it is not right that we partake in the cups of devils. If it identifies with the devil, then we need to stay away from it. And I know that that's a strong statement, but we need to be careful with that. But the devil has snuck into our lives with entertainment. There is so much music. And, you know, I threw music in here because music is entertaining to a lot of people. There's a lot more with it. Music is an avenue, a tool to transmit information, truth, and I would say mostly not truth. There's a lot of untruth that is being transmitted through a vehicle. That's what it is. Music is a vehicle to transmit information. Music is a way that information is gotten across. The music of the world, and this is not a music message, but the music of the world, which we look at as entertaining, is pumping people with either truth, like some of the songs that we sing here. I love the songs that are all about truth, that talk about the Father, that talk about the Son, that talk about Jesus Christ, that talk about the Holy Spirit, that talk about the blood of Jesus Christ, that talk about what he did for us. I love those songs that talk about what Jesus Christ has done for us. But you go to the world and you listen to the songs that are being sung out there. And it's a vehicle of lies. It's a vehicle of destruction. That sounds like the devil, doesn't it? Lies. Destruction, separation, anything that we do. I ought to pull out a note that I had. I took Melissa to the doctor the other day, and there was this stupid... You know, you don't try to listen to the music that's on there, but sometimes it's really hard. You know what I'm talking about? It's hard not to, especially when it's really stupid music. Most of the music, you can't understand what they're saying. And so that's not too big of a temptation for me because I can't figure out what they're saying, and it's probably good that I don't know what they're saying. But there was something, I had to take her for some blood work the one day, and there was this stupid song, you know, and most of the junk that's out there, they just say the same thing over and over again. So it's not like, how can you get it? There was about 5 words to the song. And so that was an easy one for this brain. I could figure, you know, that was, I could get it. Let me just find that. And by the way, if you heard the song and if you know the song, I'm not trying to get it in your mind. I don't know it, and I couldn't sing it because I never heard the song before in my life. But the words made an impact on me. This lady was singing this song, and she kept saying the same thing over and over. And this is what she said. You've got to get up and try, try, try. And I'm thinking, what do you got to get up and try? But, you know, I got to think about that song, and I said, you know what? I praise the Lord that my life is not revolved around getting up and trying, trying, trying. I get to turn it all over to the Lord because I want to tell you something. When I try, 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 I fail, fail, fail. And that little try, try, try song, you say, well, that wasn't offensive at all. But I'm telling you, the world, the devil is pumping people with anti-God and anti-truth. I mean, none of us would look at that and say, well, that wasn't a vile song. There's a whole lot more out there worse than that song. But I want to tell you something. I think the devil uses songs more like that than some of the wicked garbage out there. You know why? Because it's pumping. It's those words were anti-cross. No, Jesus paid it all.
And I don't have to try. Galatians 2:20 says I just need to comply to the person of Jesus Christ. And I can let him take over my life. And I can let him do it. But you know what? People are bebopping down the road singing songs like this and they don't even know. But you know what it's doing? It's infiltrating their being. And it's taking them away from God. And those people will never come to Christ. Why? Because they have been so filled with the devil. And the devil's loving that stupid song that's playing over and over where you go get blood. And that was such a subtle little thing. I mean, you say there was nothing wrong with that. And I tell you, there is. And 99.9% of the garbage that is in the coming on the radio and in the grocery store and in the shopping malls and it is all over the place on the television. I want to tell you, they are subtly pumping anti-truth into you every single day. And you wonder why people today are believing the things that they're believing. I mean, it blows my mind what people are believing today. You and I look at the world and you say, how could they believe it? I'll tell you how. They're listening to the music that some of you are listening to every day. And you keep listening to it and you're going to believe the same thing because that's the devil and the devil uses music. My friend, I want to tell you, entertaining yourself with music, you better be very careful what you're pumping into your heart and into your ears every single day. You better be careful. Because if it's not reflective of the cross of Christ, and if it goes against the character of God Almighty, if it's going against that, it is subtly taking you away from the cross. It's either pulling you to the cross or it's taking you away from that. And if that's the case, then we better be careful because it's drinking the cup of devils. Who are you identifying with? It's time that you go back home and analyze the music that you're listening to and turn it into music that is God-honoring. The worldly philosophy, the mocking sin, the addictions, the immorality. You listen to the stuff. You know, a lot of people have allowed, you know, even like country music because it's more neutral, whatever. You just listen to some country music. I'm going to tell you something. It will turn you to the devil. I know because I've worked in some workforces that's all they listen to, and it's a dangerous. By the way, my friend, I want to tell you, you better be careful if you're going to work in a place that you are exposed to music all day long, because before long you are going to be infiltrated with lie. And it would be worth saying no to that job. And I tell you that with a passion because I have people close to me in my life that have gone that route, and I want to tell you it's changed them. You better be careful with what you let. I wouldn't go to a job that I had to listen to that garbage all day long. Music is an entertainment of the devil. We better be careful. We better be careful with our entertainment. It's not just music. You know, we get entertained with activities. Activities are a great thing, aren't they? You know, having activity in life. But do you realize that there's activities of the devil? Activities of the devil that he loves to get us and to take us away from good things. He loves to take activity because we are in a society that activity is a good thing, and activity is a good. You know, non-activity can be a dangerous thing, but activity itself can be bad if it's taken away you from the things of God. We better be careful of the things that we do. Is this activity got God's fingerprints over it, or is it the devil's? Did Jesus Christ have to die for it? Or did he free you to it? You've got to ask the questions. The visual media that we have, wow. Everything that's out there that's getting pumped into your eyes, the eye gate that comes in. I want to tell you, and you know, we've got to talk about this, but you already know about it. We've got to be careful because evil communications, exposure. That word communications is in a word of exposure. You say, oh, I would never do that action. I would never do that myself. But you put yourself in front of it and you watch it, you wait, and one day you will do it. Because what it's doing is dumbing you down until it's not that big of a deal and will be involved. The visual media, what you see over and over and over and over and over again becomes something that you open your mind to more and more and more. Things that control you. I tell you, the sports world,
you know, is there anything sinful about the sports world? I say it's getting closer and closer to yes, because there's so much around the sports world that is anti-God. And I'm saying that as one of the was in the past leading sports fans, fanatics, athletes that there ever was. But I want to tell you something. There's a danger with it, and it pulls us into that realm of unbelief and untruth. And I would just even say this. The professional sports out there, you need to be so careful with, because the professional sports out there, there's an agenda behind a lot of it, and a lot of it is geared towards untruth. And I can't believe I'd ever say that in my life. I can't believe that, because I was so for it. And I would just tell you, I am against it today, and I don't participate with it, because there's so much of it that is, you know, the pure sport. I wish it was just the pure sport, but it's not. There's too much involved. There's too much entertainment involved. It has moved from sport to entertainment. And that's the problem, is when we're entertained and when we are entertained in our hearts and minds, God says, be not deceived. Evil communications corrupt good manners. Social media, and I could go on and on. You understand. Be careful with your entertainment. So much entertainment today is the cup of devils. And the devil is pulling people in as he pulls people into those situations. 1 Corinthians 10:21 says, you cannot drink the cup of the Lord and the cup of devils. You cannot be a partaker of the Lord's table and the table of devils. I want you to go home, and I want you to ask God, is there any entertainment in my life that is the cup of devils that I need to get out of? Materialism is another cup of the devil. How was the devil using materialism? What do you think? How was the devil using materialism? I'm opening it up to you. How is the devil using materialism? What is materialism? Gaining stuff. Take your Bibles and go to James chapter 4 really quickly. James chapter 4. Let's look at the first five verses. I know I'm preaching a little bit topically. Typically don't do this, but we've got to talk. What is he talking about? The cup of devils. And we've got to make it practical, because we can just read over and say, oh yeah, I don't partake a cup of devils. Well, what are you doing for entertainment? How do you entertain yourself? Is it something that you would be embarrassed if Jesus sat down beside you and watched? Would you be embarrassed at what would be on there? If you would be, that's telling you the answer right there. Get rid of it, because if he died for it, then we ought not have anything to do with it. James chapter 4, verses 1 to 5. From whence come wars and fightings among you? Come they not hence, even of your lusts that war in your members? Ye lust and have not, ye kill and desire to have, ye cannot obtain, ye fight and war, yet ye have not, because ye ask not. Ye ask and receive not, because ye ask amiss, that ye may consume it upon your lusts. Ye adulterers and adulteresses, know ye not that the friendship of the world is enmity with God? Whosoever therefore will be a friend of the world is the enemy of God. Do ye think that the scripture saith in vain, the spirit that dwelleth in us lusteth to envy? Okay, so the bottom line with all this are the lusts and desires that we want, that we have, the things that we want. Honestly, that is a little bit of a biblical definition of what materialism is. It's desiring things that I shouldn't have, the things that are just going to make me happy over God. Honestly, I ought to be consumed with the happiness that I get from loving my Lord for dying on the cross for me and making a way of escape for me. Those things ought to consume me. They ought to, I loosely say, entertain me, but they certainly ought to be what I go to. And so we look at this idea of worldliness or materialism. Materialism here, things that we want. How is the devil using materialism? Well, one of the words that was used here in James chapter 4 is lust. Things that we desire so much. What is it that you so much desire to have? You know, and it could be a very neutral type of a thing. You know, you might want that new, battery-operated drill, you know, that they came out with, you know, that whatever like that, and there's nothing wrong with it, and you could do a lot of good things with it, but you know, the question is are you willing to kill to obtain, like mentioned in James chapter 4, and you say no, I wouldn't kill anybody, but you know what, we are quick to go out and spend the money on this one, neglecting other things that we ought to be spending money on. Folks, I want to tell you something. God wants us to be able to spend money on some things, but we ought to take care of what's important first and foremost. You know, if my family is not being fed properly, I ought not be going out and buying that drill probably. I need to make sure and take care of business first. We need to take care of the things. We need to take care of God's. We need to pay that tithe. I want to encourage you, by the way, in your giving, you make sure when that paycheck comes in, you write that tithe. Pay it, because you're going to be tempted. You're going to be tempted not to do it. You know, and when things get tough, you know, that month and whatever and things, and you got all kinds of bills, and you got this, and now you don't have money, you know what? You better give it, because that's the most important thing to you. You're going to be tempted with using it in other ways. Anyway, we go back to materialism, you know, the things that we lust after desire, and we feel like we've got to have. I've had so many things in my life that I know exactly what it talks about. You know, I could taste it, smell it, everything was so wonderful, and boy, I thought that thing was going to make me happy. It doesn't make us happy, and you know it doesn't. But materialism, boy, that's the footprints of the devil. If he can get us so desiring things that we don't desire him, he's going to pull us away. And so the devil loves to use lust. Things that control us. What controls you? Boy, there's a lot of things there that turn us about just like a bit in a horse's mouth. What things control you? I want you to think through that just a little bit. By the way, things that control you are things of the devil. Got his footprints all over it. Who is the one that's supposed to control us? It's God, the Holy Spirit. He's the one that ought to control us. We ought to be moved by the Holy Ghost. He ought to be the one that's driving everything in our lives. We've got to have a different wind about us, another spirit. Caleb had another spirit about him in the Old Testament, it says. He had another spirit. It was something different that made him tick. But my friend, I ask you, what makes you tick? Is it your tools? Is it your vehicles? Is it your home? Is it your things? Is it your clothing? It's amazing how clothing, so simple. And by the way, let me go off, and maybe this is a little bit of a rabbit trail, but just because you buy clothes at Goodwill doesn't mean you can only be materialistic. You say, well, I got a good deal with this. You go to the department store and you'll pay $100 for this, and I got it for $3. That doesn't make it better, because there are people that have their closets filled with $3 shirts that they worship those things, that they're all about that. They've got 100 shoes, they've got 100 shirts, they've got 100 pair of pants to go with all those things, and they absolutely glory in those things. My friend, it doesn't matter how much you spent on it. It's, do you love those things? Materialism is the love and lust of the things that you can get, whether you get them for free or whether you paid a good price for them. It's the love of things. We need to be careful about the things that make us so happy. When we ought to be concerned about the thing that makes us happy is to be walking with the Lord. Can I tell you that the only thing that makes us happy, you know, just like the song, trust and obey, for there's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. You walk with the Lord, and I can promise you, you'll be the happiest person that you've ever been, walking with the Lord. But you can get 100 sets of clothes, and it's not going to do you anything. In fact, all you'll want to do is go to Goodwill again and get another. That's why you have 100, because you can't possibly wear 100 anyway. And so we need to, I know I'm being facetious with that, but you need to be careful. Let's be careful with the amount of things that we feel like we've got to go and buy and get and accumulate and collect and all this stuff, that love of money. Boy, there's a root there. The love of things, there's a root there. And it's I'm just going to come out and say that it's a cup of devils. And if the devil can get you hooked in this thing where you've got to have, we've got to be careful with it. Lust, control, addictions. You know, some people are just flat out addicted to some of these things. Flat out addicted to things. You know, we kind of laugh at these, you know, they got these shows out there, and I don't know that I ever even saw one, but they call them hoarders, people that have all this stuff, and they can't get rid of them. I'm going to tell you something, that's indicative of a person that just loves things. I've seen people with that. I remember I pastored at another place, wasn't here, went into a home of somebody else, and you could barely make a trail through that place. Stuff that they could not get rid of. And these weren't low-life people. They had money and all kinds of stuff. They couldn't get rid of anything. And the whole house was just a little trail that you barely had to, you know, walk like this through. I know another place, you know, this lady had what disease did she have? A really tough disease. I can't remember what it was, but I didn't see this. My mom actually worked for this lady. She worked for this lady. This lady hadn't been able to like walk for years and ages. And my mom was helping her out in her home. She went into there and she had her closets filled, lined up, pairs of pants, pairs of this. I'm talking folded. In fact, her assignment was to go and fold all these clothes just perfectly, pair after pair after pair after pair after pair after pair, ceiling to, it was just like that. And this lady couldn't even walk. She didn't get out of her home. She couldn't even ever wear those clothes. You look at that, every one of you saying, that's weird. You know what it is? It's somebody that loves things. And the devil is having a heyday there because the person loves those things more than God. Materialism is a dangerous thing. Materialism, I want to tell you, materialism is an avenue to immorality. Materialism is an avenue because things attract, and it's always things that make our image appear to be better. I could go on in all of this, just materialism, and it brings lack of providing for what's necessary. I mean, if my family probably needs it, we probably need it. If not that, then the things of God, the church and the ministry and missions, they need it. You know, rather than just accumulation of things, we need to be very careful. But certainly materialism is a place where the devil is loving to get himself. Ecumenism, I just really quickly throw that out there. This is killing Christians left and right. Now, ecumenism has a lot to do with religion blending together. I want to even, maybe I'm going out of my realms in using the word ecumenism. Maybe there's a better word for it. But the idea here is the idea of everybody's right. And no matter what your way is, as long as you have a way, as long as you believe what you want to believe, let me get closer to society, no prejudice, no accepting everyone. Okay, you know what I'm talking about now, right? Tolerant. There's the word. And you know, in a sense, it sounds good. But I'll tell you, the devil's got his footprints all over it. And I want to tell you this as a church, from pastor to you, I want to tell you something. I know that tolerance sounds okay. You better be careful with it. Because when tolerance leads to compromise, it's of the devil. Love your brother is true. But it doesn't mean that we tolerate sin. It doesn't mean that we accept wickedness. Folks, we should not accept wickedness that is accepted today. You're right, we ought to love everyone. Is that the truth? Should we love everyone? We ought to love everyone, but God never, ever, ever said to love sin and be accepting of the wicked sin that's out there. And I want to tell you something. It is ecumenism because it is entering the religious world. Every day I get news articles that is coming from certain religions that are getting more and more and more accepting of the wickedness out there. My friend, can I tell you, I'm not just trying to preach to the world. I'm trying to preach to you because people in this sort of a church are falling all the time because they're saying, you know what? We ought to be loving. We ought to be accepting. But that's not what God said. He said you need to love, but you need to be for the truth as well. We've got to be so careful. Please don't let this love for people all of a sudden say, listen, that's not right. You know, what's going on over in Israel and Palestine is sickening to God. It's sickening what's happened in our world, that everyone's saying, oh, those poor Palestinians. By the way, does God love Palestinians? You better believe he does. But don't fall for the lie of the devil that is trying to trick everybody into thinking that Israel is the wicked one because they're, you know, committing. What's the word that they're saying now? They're trying them? Genocide. I want to tell you something. That is twisted truth. You say, why are you preaching that to us tonight? Because we better be careful with the cups of devils. Christians are getting deceived on a daily rate.
into thinking, you know what, maybe there's something to that. That's rough. Those poor people over there. And I want to just say, there are some poor people. And I feel bad for some of the people that are pulled into some of it. But I want to tell you, some of those poor people absolutely hate you. And they hate God. And they hate Christians. And they, as soon as you turn your head, will slit your throat. God doesn't have tolerance for that. He doesn't. Does he love the person? He does. But he hates that. That wicked sin. Don't buy into the cup of devils and trick yourself into thinking that that's okay and we just got to be tolerant of everybody. No, we should not be tolerant of sin. We should not be tolerant of the things that Jesus Christ went to the cross for.
Again, this is not about a people group. This is, you know what? God loves everybody. But terrorism that goes against God is wicked and wrong. And it ought to be put down and it ought to be destroyed. It ought to be destroyed. I'm not preaching a message on what's going on in the Middle East right now. I'm just telling you, I'm trying to warn you as a pastor, please don't fall into the cup of devils. Don't allow yourself to just be blindsided in all of this. It's deceitful. It's a twisting of the truth. It's compromise. It's division. And I'll tell you, it is causing division. We're seeing our world divided in half. We're going to see our country divided in half. We're going to see so much. It causes strife. Why? Because it's of the devil. That's what the devil loves to do. Anything he can do to get in there and twist things up. Again, be not deceived. Evil communications corrupt good manners. The last one that I want to mention as our time is up, immobility. That's another weird word that I chose. Trying to think of the right words. Doing nothing. Do you realize that doing nothing in a good church like this is a work of the devil? He wants people to do absolutely nothing. You know what? I'm just going to show up. I'm going to soak it all in. You know, God wants you to come soak it all in, but if you don't give anything out, it's going to be a horrible abscess in your life, and it's going to erupt in a bad way. It's poison. People that are just taking in truth and never giving it out, never serving, never doing anything, it's a horrible thing that is that the devil is trying to convince people. Doing nothing, neutrality, rich really leads to apathy. How is the devil using immobility? Division. I'll tell you what. But a church that's empty of people doing nothing is going to be a church that gets divided. They're going to fight because they're doing nothing. Less truth, of course. They're going to go away from the truth. More independence on their own. Less service, stagnant ineffectiveness is what leads that out. It's interesting. Paul is saying here, he's saying, listen, you serve the cup of the Lord, but you be careful with the cup of devils, and there's no place for a Christian to have both. Now, I have just given you just some simple examples of things that could easily be used as Christians. Materialism, ecumenism, entertainment. These things are things that we need to be so careful with. And I just gave them to you because, you know, I was reading. I was getting ready to prepare the next part of the passage. And I looked at that phrase, the cup of devils. And I got to thinking, you know, what are the things right here that are dangerous for our people to blindly put their foot in and think that they're okay, that will kill them? These are just some few examples, just to get your mind going and hopes that you will take it and go home and say, Lord, is there anything in my life that I'm not even realizing that I bought at Goodwill that I'm wearing that is the cup of the devil? And by the way, what ought to be our attitude? Lord, if there is, I'm getting rid of it. Because I don't want that. I want to be all out for the Lord. I hope that that's what you want. I hope you want to be all out for the Lord. And so just this simple phrase, you know, that was mentioned here. You cannot drink the cup of the Lord and the cup of devils. You cannot be partakers of the Lord's table, of the table of devils. Oh, we live in a world that is okay with a lot. Your social media, listen, I haven't talked about a lot of things. You say, but pastor, can it be used for some tremendous things? You know, Christian people connecting with Christian people. Yep, but you better be careful. I'm just telling you, better be careful. Be careful with the, you know, is there anything wrong with a video game? No, but you better be careful. You better be careful with those innocent little Disney movies that are out there. They're not so innocent. I'm just throwing this out there, so you be careful. As your pastor, I just want to say, please be careful. If you don't know, don't come to me. You can ask me, but what you need to do is go to the Lord. Lord, is this the cup of the Lord or is this the cup of devils? Use the scriptures to weigh it out. The Holy Spirit will give you the truth. If you find out it's the cup of the Lord's, you go for it. If it's the cup of devils, you better put it aside. Father, would you help us not be guilty of entertaining or of being involved and participating with, identifying with the cup of devils. We want to identify with you. We want to worship you. We want to be careful to stay away from that which is against you, that which is trying to destroy everything about you. Lord, we don't want anything to do with it. Help us to stay away.